My name is Andrew Marganat. I'm a postdoc at UC Davis working with Dr. Sanjay Parikh in the back. And we'd like to tell you a bit about our findings on the effect of lime on soil carbon. So lime is a pretty powerful tool for the management of crop productivity in weathered soils, which tend to be acidic. And a good example of this is in the conversion of neotropical savanna in South America or of savanna in Africa to ag production. Norman Borlaug referred to these areas as, quote, the acid lands. And he noted that at the turn of the century, they remained the last agricultural frontiers. A large part of why they remained these last frontiers was that there are strong constraints to crop production on acid soils. And a pretty good example of how lime can help overcome these constraints is the case of the Cerrado in Brazil, where these oxysols under native savanna were put into large-scale farming through the use of high doses of lime. This same lime-dependent strategy is also being used in the savannas of the northern part of this continent in the Llanos of Colombia. At the same time, lime can also be used to improve the production of crops in soils that are already under cultivation, or even bring back the productivity of such soils. And here we have some nice examples from East Africa, especially that of Kenya. So for example, in Kenya, there is right now a bit of a liming renaissance going on. And this is in large part due to the efforts of the Kenyan government and their ag extension program, as well as outside groups like the 1 Acre Fund. So the reason why lime works so well to improve crop production on acid soils, which are weathered, is by decreasing the amount of aluminium toxicity, which can stunt plant roots, and as well as increasing the availability of certain crop nutrients. The most famous of these is phosphorus, which tends to get fixed at low pH. But what about the organic matter component of soil quality and fertility? Well, a lot of studies seem to find a negative effect of liming on soil carbon, at least in the short term. So what these studies tend to find is that initially, prior to liming, there is a constant carbon level, which means that the inputs of carbon are more or less the same as the outputs of carbon. And following an initial dose of lime, there tends to be this transient decrease in soil carbon, meaning that the outputs are outstripping the inputs. Over time, though, this decrease in soil carbon is not only recouped, it continues to increase over pre-lime level. So there's a net increase in total carbon about a decade or more in weathered soils after liming. In this last case, this really makes sense, right? Because this is the whole point of lime, which is to increase crop productivity, which engenders more crop biomass, and that begets more crop residues being put back into the soil. So inputs are greater. This produces a net increase in carbon. But again, this happens over the scale of decades. In the short term, there's this transient decrease in soil carbon. And there's a lot of unknowns about this decrease that we sought to address. And so, in specific, we had three knowledge gaps that we examined. The first is one of time scale. So studies that find decreases in carbon following liming, they have their earliest measurements at a year, maybe 6 months. But we know that lime can react with soils much quicker, right? Conceivably, given the right moisture conditions, lime could react within weeks, if not days. A second issue is that of the context of these decreases. How are these soils being managed? And it's conceivable that the fertility inputs could modulate not just the total amount of carbon to start with prior to lime, but also how labile it is, and thus how vulnerable it is to decomposition. And finally, a bit about mechanisms, right? So this stimulation of decomposition that must be occurring early on following liming, it implicates microbe activity. But we'd like to delve a bit deeper beyond that into the activity of enzymes that might be decomposing carbon. So from this graph here, some might argue that really it's the enzymes, not the microbes, that are involved in decomposition of soil carbon. They're doing most of the heavy lifting. And the reason for this, for example, is in the breakdown of cellulose down to glucose, There are two steps that are modulated by the activities of enzymes, by cellulase and then by beta glucosidase. And these enzymes must act upon cellulose in order to produce the glucose, which is then uptaken by the microbiomass, metabolized, and respired as CO2. So some might think that this distinction between enzymes and microbes is a tautology, right? It's saying the same thing. But the distinction, I think, matters in soils because in soils, the majority of enzyme activities are outside of the living biomass. They're extracellular. And so liming could affect enzymes independently of its effects on microbiomass. So how might this fit into our picture of the decreases in soil carbon following liming? Well, one thought is that the increased output relative to input that drives the net carbon loss could be leveraged by greater enzyme activities. An idea is that there's more substrate coming down the enzymatic pipeline that would yield more substrate for microbiomass, and more respiration could therefore occur, producing that net loss in carbon. Furthermore, there's reason to believe that liming could impact enzyme activities. All enzymes have an optimum pH, and by messing with pH, liming could make enzymes less or more effective at performing this breakdown. An indirect but biotic mechanism also done by lime could be that by promoting increased microbe growth from going from a pH of, say, 4.5 to more circumneutral pH would be increased production of more enzymes. In both cases, though, there's a net increase in the bulk soil enzyme activity. So we sought to address this by looking at soils in the epicenter of acidity in Kenya, shown by the yellow star there, near Lake Victoria. And we went to a long-term trial that was in the 11th year, which corresponds to 22 cropping seasons because we're in the tropics. And we sampled from three long-term treatments that contrasted by the amount of fertility inputs. The first is an unfertilized system. It received nothing, but was still cropped to maize and beans. The two other treatments were one which got mineral inputs at recommended rates for this part of Kenya, and the other was a ORG system, organic, in which there were low amounts of homestead manure applied. And this practice is reflective of what farmers in the region typically do. Now note that these two fertilized systems contrast strongly not only in the amount, but also the form of nutrient inputs, and that only the ORIC has a carbon input among all three. What's also nice is that all three treatments have almost the same pH as well as exchangeable acidity. So we expected them to respond in the same manner to additions of lime. So we took these back to the lab and we performed some mesocosm experiments in which we applied lime at 6 doses to establish a nice pH gradient that ran from a pH of 4.7, what these soils are without lime, all the way up to pH of 6.4, which is the circumneutral target of liming. And across these pH gradients, we monitored respiration rates as CO2 flux, as well as the activities of four enzymes that decompose carbon. So for the purpose of this talk, I'll just be focusing on two enzymes, the ones that we've just seen that break down cellulose to cellobiose down to glucose. So the respiration data helps us address our first knowledge gap, which is that of time. So how quickly can liming impact soil carbon, and specifically how much it decomposes? So there's three observations to be made with the respiration data. The first is that respiration peaks within 5 days of lime being added, but that the intensity of respiration does not necessarily correspond to how much lime was added. So for example, we see this in the ORG system. Next thing is that we do see a greater correspondence between more lime with more respiration by about 6 days after, so by day 11. And again, we see a trend now between the fertilized versus the unfertilized system, where in the fertilized systems, there's a nice falling out of respiration rates by lime dosage. And finally, by the end of this period, which was 4 weeks, by day 27, we see convergence of respiration rates. So in other words, the impact of liming on stimulating carbon decomposition is relatively, or can be at least, short-lived, within 1 month, peaking within 1 week. On to the enzymes, bracketed in red. which are one example of a decomposition pathway common in soils. So the first one in the step is that of cellulase that breaks down that polymer into the oligosaccharide, and then that is done, and then the next step done by glucosidase, which breaks down cellulobiose down to glucose. So over these pH gradients, we found that the activity of cellulase, tended to overall decrease. So the similar F value for all different land uses suggests that there is a similar sensitivity of this enzyme to liming effects. And that effect is to basically decrease it with higher lime rates. So this enzyme is less active in its decomposition of cellulose with increasing lime rate. The next step of this process, shows very distinct response of this enzyme to the past fertility inputs. And so with the unfertilized system, not too visible here, we see that there's a transient increase at intermediate lime rates. With the next system, the mineral fertilized, which is not apparent, there is an overall no change, but there's a slight dip in the activity at only the highest lime rate of 7.5 tons per hectare. And in contrast, the system that was most sensitive was that of the ORIG system, in which we saw decreases in the enzyme activity occurring at lower lime rates, and there was greater decrease in activity overall. So if we go back to our potential mechanism, that we thought enzymes could contribute to decomposition by increasing outputs, the decrease in activities following liming don't jive too well, right? In fact, they're opposite to what we would expect if enzymes were driving the increase in decomposition following lime. So we're not observing this, and we see a shrinking in the activities, which suggests that respiration increased maybe even in spite of enzymes, which were sort of shut down. And this suggests that there is a different carbon source that microbes are accessing following liming. Perhaps this mechanism is abiotic. And one potential mechanism could be the desorption of mineral-bound carbon, which would be expected as we go from a pH of 4.7 up to a pH that's circumneutral. So to get a really rough estimate on this, apologies again, we measured the amount of permanganate oxidizable carbon, or POX. And the idea is that this oxidant is better able to oxidize and thus measure the pool of carbon that's not so strongly bound to minerals. In other words, if we were to expect desorption following liming, we would see an increase in free carbon and thus greater POX. And the trends, which you can kind of make out in the rightmost graph for the ORIG system, seem to suggest this, where in the unfertilized, there was no real change in POX across the lime rates, whereas in the MIN system, there was a slight increase of about 4% at the highest lime rate. And finally, we saw a skyrocketing of almost 20% more POX in the ORIG system, the one with the carbon input. So to summarize, we've tackled these three questions and we've not solved them, but there's evidence that lime can happen fairly quickly, much quicker than the year timescales that field studies have shown carbon decreases following liming, and that we get this max response of carbon decomposition conceivably within 1 week of adding lime. And second, the activities of enzymes that decompose carbon during this four-week window go down. They don't increase. So enzymes may not be able to explain the increase in carbon being respired during this four-week window. We do see, though, that there is a greater agreement of the labeled carbon pool as measured by POX with increased respiration rate. So perhaps there's an abiotic mechanism such as desorption of mineral-bound carbon to explain the increase in respiration. And finally, our knowledge gap of context. We found that there's a very strong effect of how this land was managed, despite being the same pH and the same soil type, in which there was less sensitivity of the unfertilized system to, or at the biochemical level of enzymes and labeled carbon, or if there was greatest sensitivity in a system that had received an input of manure over 11 years. Any questions? Sure.
What form of lime do you apply in this field?
Well, first thing is that we didn't apply it in the field. It was.
So what usually apply? Like
right.
Calcium carbonate or calcium hydroxide?
Not quite. So the question was what form of lime was applied, and just to clarify, it wasn't done in the field, it was done in a mesocosm, so back in the lab. And the form of lime that we used was calcium hydroxide, which might be cheating in terms of our time effect, but the rationale was that it reacts quickly, and it's trying to get at the upper constraint of time. So how quickly could it happen conceivably? Calcium carbonate would take a bit quicker because of the lower Kw, so it dissolves less readily. But in a tropical system with lots of rainfall, it might be equivalent to calcium hydroxide reacting very quickly.
Right.
That's a great point. So in the first run, we used calcium carbonate, and the numbers were really high. And we're like, oh, this is weird. And then we realized that it was coming from the carbonate. So that's the second reason why we used calcium hydroxide as the liming agent.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could label the carbon of the carbonate, right, as 13, and that might be a way of getting around it.
Thank you, man.
Yep. Sure. So for our calculations, we took bulk density measures at all three different treatments in the field, and they all have the same bulk density, which is probably due to the intensive tillage. It's all by hand hoe. And we sampled to a depth of 0 to 15. So the hand hoe tends to go down to about 25. So in terms of the calculation from the rates in the field to the mesocosm, that was a constant. And we also used the We used a lime test based on the equivalence of lime to neutralize exchangeable acidity as the basis for how much lime to use.
One last question.
In the back.
Is it possible that there's lots of changes in carbon use efficiency on microbial community, for instance, based on rapid changes in competition, resource availability, that could be designed for reduced carbon use efficiency in
Certainly, yeah. And so this model that we took of stoichiometry as explaining the decreases in carbon is a bit crude. It's not incompatible, but there's evidence that differences in the use efficiency of carbon could also explain it. And that you'd expect, I think, in the fertilized treatments, which there's less co-limitation by N and P, especially for the MINT system. And so the microbes might be better able to tap into existing carbon. Thanks for the question.